The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazy.
In the headlines, leaders of countries affected by Ebola say global response to pandemic is not fast enough. Ebola claim of health personnel on the rise. 6 detained National Service directors granted bail. National Identification Authority to pilots proposed enhanced national card next month. Presidential Commission on Brazil 2014 adjourns. And protest leaders in Hong Kong call for massive rally against Chinese authorities today. But first, the summary with Rosemary Gazy.
Leaders of Ebola-hit countries have expressed worry about the slow pace of global response to the pandemic, the situation they say may have dire consequences for the entire African continent. Sadly enough, more than 90 health workers, including doctors, physician assistants and nurses, have lost their lives in the line of duty since the outbreak of the deadly virus. The National Identification Authority says from next month it will begin the pilot of the registration for the proposed new enhanced national biometric ID cards. The administrative head of the authority, Joseph Iroko, who disclosed this on our current affairs program Behind the News, noted that the NIA is at the final stage of financial arrangements to kickstart the entire exercise. The 6 national service directors who were detained in relation to the money scandal have been granted bail. They are the Greater Accra Regional Director Seth Esiedu, that of Eastern Region Anafosu Amankwa, Northern Alhaji Shaibu Abiru, George N. Dasa Upper East, Gabriel Nyoke Volta, and Michael Totume Western Region. And protest leaders in Hong Kong have called for a massive rally against the Chinese authorities later today. The protesters are demanding a free vote in the election of Hong Kong's new leader in 2017. China, however, says under Hong Kong law, voters will be able to vote freely but from a list approved by a nominating committee.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. Leaders of West African nations plagued by Ebola say the deadly virus is outpacing the world's response, jeopardizing the future of the entire continent. Sierra Leone's President Ernest Bai Koroma said the world is not responding fast enough as doctors and nurses continue to die. A Uganda-born doctor, John Tabandada, died early yesterday of Ebola at a treatment center on the outskirts of Liberian capital Monrovia. He's the 4th doctor to die in the country since the outbreak. Over 90 health workers, including nurses and physicians' assistants, have been killed by the virus. According to World Health Organization, latest figures, 3,865 people have been killed by Ebola, mostly in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone.
And Doctors Without Borders have warned of a massive influx of Ebola cases in the Guinean capital, Conakry, with facilities reaching their limits. The aid group center in Conakry received 22 patients last Monday alone, including 18 from the same region 50 kilometers east of the city. More than 90 health workers, including nurses and physician assistants, have also died. There was continued concern about Ebola in Spain, where the first person known to have caught the disease outside West Africa became sick. The condition of Spanish nursing assistant Teresa Romero deteriorated yesterday. 4 doctors have also been admitted to the Madrid hospital for precautionary observation, bringing to 8 the number of people being monitored at the center.
Still on Ebola, health authorities in many European countries have been preparing for the possible arrival of suspected and confirmed cases of Ebola following guidelines issued by the World Health Organization. The British government announced it is stepping up its Ebola screening at airports, responding to growing public fears about the spread of the virus in Europe. The government announced that screening will start at London's Heathrow and Gatwick airports and the Eurostar train terminal. British authorities say travelers from Sierra Leone, Liberia and Guinea will be asked about recent travel, who they have been in contact with, and their onward travel plans. The Russian Emergencies Ministry is also offered to help the European states to work with those who are infected with Ebola. The news of the unidentified Briton's death in Macedonia yesterday comes as the head of the World Bank and West African leaders warned that the virus threatens the entire African continent. Health officials in the Macedonian capital have, however, cautioned that the diagnosis could not be confirmed until a German laboratory had completed its analysis.
And back home, Ghana stands ready to battle any possible Ebola outbreak. U.S. Center for Disease Control Coordinator in Ghana, Dr. Philip Briggs, made this known during a news briefing at the U.S. Embassy in Accra. He said Ghana has, in a way, already handled an Ebola case, and the measures put in place by the Ghana Health Service have ensured that the country's Ebola surveillance is top-notch.
Ghana is prepared, I believe, for the introduction of Ebola. It will come in one case or two cases. It will not come in 100 cases if it comes. Ghana will identify the case, isolate the case, and do contact tracing. We already have actually really sort of had a case of Ebola in Ghana because the Nigerian case actually was on a transit flight through Ghana. And so 22 people got down off of that plane, and Ghana Health Services did contact tracing and followed all of them for 21 days. So Ghana does have the capability to respond to the introduction of Ebola. And should it grow, which I don't think that it will, I mean, I think that Ghana will contain it. Ghana's working very hard. Should it grow, you know, the necessary resources will come into the country to help contain it.
That was the U.S. Center for Disease Control Coordinator in Ghana, Dr. Philip Briggs.
The Ghana Armed Forces, with support from the National Ambulance Service, has trained 63 military personnel as emergency medical technicians, EMTs. They are expected to provide frontline trauma care to military personnel on the battlefield. The technicians will be deployed to health facilities of the Ghana Armed Forces and for peacekeeping operations. Speaking at the passing out in Accra, the chief executive of the National Ambulance Service, Professor Ahmed Zakaria, said the training obtained by the personnel will help them provide quality emergency assistance to improve health delivery. Priscilla Pia and Aurelia Kandi have filed this report.
Over the years, a number of casualties have been recorded in the operations of the armed forces due to inadequate logistics or management of the injury. Designated as the National Disaster and Emergency Facility, the 37 Military Hospital collaborated with the National Ambulance Service to train personnel to provide first aid service. The Chief Executive of the National Ambulance Service, Professor Ahmed Zakaria, expressed optimism that the trained personnel will live up to expectations.
I can confidently say that training is seen by the government will continue to provide quality medical care to their patients and customers. We are not well poised and prepared to assist the doctors to deliver enhanced emergency care services in the hospital. The purpose of this program is to ensure that each resident can administer immediate life saving procedures.
The director of general training at the Ghana Armed Forces, Commodore P.K. Feidu, highlighted programs undertaken by the graduates, stressing the collaboration of both institutions will boost operations in emergency medical services.
Graduates, in line with international standards, have received 1 year of intensive training in emergency medical procedures. This training covered basic principles of resuscitation, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, the use of automated external defibrillation, control of hemorrhage, treatment of shock, bandaging of wounds, and administering oxygen. I am hopeful the graduates will be motivated to aspire for excellence in their career as emergency medical technicians to bring fight to Ghana, Ghana Armed Forces, their families, and themselves. I also hope that this collaboration between the Ghana Armed Forces and the National Ambulance Service will continue to ensure that the Ghana Armed Forces will always have sufficient personnel of emergency medical technicians to boost its operations.
The public is advised to call 193 in event of an emergency to ensure that only professionals handle the sick. Emmanuel Ekpe Adre was adjudged the overall best student.
Priscilla Appiah and Aurelia Akande filed that report.
And still staying with health, the sector minister, Dr. Kweku Agyeman Mensah, has urged the Ghana Health Service to speed up the process of integrating eye care services into all primary health care facilities and programs, launching this year's World Sight Day in Accra. Dr. Agyeman Mensah believed this will help create more awareness on blindness prevention, empower health workers at the primary level to provide basic eye services in deprived communities, and reduce avoidable blindness in Ghana. He stressed that attaining universal eye health coverage is a shared responsibility, and so Ghanaians should be responsible for their eye health needs. Nana Momari reports.
Approximately 285 million people worldwide live with low vision and blindness. Out of these, 39 million are blind and 246 million have moderate or severe visual impairment. Global blindness is therefore a serious health concern which needs much attention and devotion. World Sight Day, which is dedicated to pledging perfect vision for every human being, also serves as a platform for stakeholders and individuals to focus attention on the global issue of avoidable blindness, visual impairment, and to actively support global blindness prevention efforts. In a statement read on behalf of the Minister of Health, the Director of Nursing and Midwifery at the Ministry of Health, George Treme, entreated eye care professionals to embark on regular outreach programs to educate the public. In relation to the Ebola scare and the cholera epidemic, Mr. Treme called for a combined effort with the ministry to educate, detect and report any suspected case, if any.
People should get regular eye tests from approved providers. The eye test they get provides the first point of contact for diagnosis and treatment of an eye condition. In giving universal eye health, we need to assess the current situation in terms of service delivery in order to allocate resources as required. As a ministry, we shall therefore continue to create a congenial environment for our existing and potential partners for us to work in concert in achieving this positive agenda of eliminating avoidable blindness from Ghana.
The head of the eye care unit, Ghana Health Service, Dr. Oscar Debra, threw more light on the state of eye health and advised Ghanaians to avoid using non-prescribed and harmful traditional eye medicines on their eyes.
Because we have NGOs who are dedicated to supporting eye health, like Sight Savers, Swiss Red Cross, Efficient Eyesight, and now Standard Chartered Bank. Eye health activities are ongoing in most places. The NGOs come in to support what government or the ministry does. So we don't have to leave everything onto the shoulders of the NGOs to do eye health. All eye diseases that would cause us to be blind start small. So it's important that we take responsibility for our eyes. We check our eyes at least once a year. And then if there's something that is beginning, then they can advise us to do.
Sight is treasured by all. If one wants to value the importance of eyesight, try blindfolding your eyes and go about your daily tasks. This will give you a humbling perspective on how difficult life is without your eyesight.
Nana Maumari.
The head of administration at the National Identification Authority, Joseph Iroko, says the authority is in the process of finalizing financial arrangements to start the re-registration and distribution of the new biometric identification cards. He stated that the pilot of the registration will commence next month. He said this on our current affairs program behind the news.
We are in the process of finalizing everything. Bear in mind that we are going through a process at the Public Private Partnership Approval Committee of the Ministry of Finance, and they have given us approval in principle. They are waiting for our submission of a draft contract that will be sent to the Attorney General Department for vetting and further due diligence. When that is complete, we, because of the money that will be involved in the expanded scope, we need to also go to Cabinet and then to Parliament for final approval. But we want to try a pilot, and all things being equal, this pilot may start November this year.
Head of Administration at the National Identification Authority, Joseph Iroko.
Energy experts at a round table were unanimous that the renewable gas will not end the energy crisis, but agreed on nuclear, coal and other energy mix to propel the country's development. The speakers were the chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Mines, Dr. Kwabena Donko, the Executive Secretary of Energy Commission, Dr. Albert Ahinkra, and the president of Private Enterprise Foundation, Nana Osei Bonsu. They agreed that renewable energy like solar, wind and biomass, though necessary, will not propel the industrial revolution that the country needs. Dr. Kwabena Donko asked Ghanaians to think more about electricity for industrial use than for domestic purposes. Since without jobs, people cannot pay their electricity bills. Nana Osei-Bunso of the Private Enterprise Foundation complained about the collapse of industries due to high electricity bills. For his part, the Executive Secretary of the Energy Commission, Dr. Hinkra, said the Commission is considering the application of two local companies to process coal as part of the energy mix needed for development, but he mentioned the expansion of the country's ports to facilitate that agenda. The Chief Executive of the Institute of Green Growth Solutions, a policy think tank, Dr. Eric Chum, called for bold leadership among politicians who lay bare all the facts in dealing with energy issues. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Leaders of countries affected by Ebola say global response to pandemic is not fast enough. Ebola claim of health personnel on the rise. Six detained National Service Directors granted bail. National Identification Authority to pilot proposed enhanced national card next month. Presidential Commission on Brazil 2014 adjourns, and protest leaders in Hong Kong call for massive rally against Chinese authorities today. Stay with us.
Welcome back. The MP for Obuasi West, Kwaku Kwarteng, says Ghana can only win itself from the IMF and other donors if leaders demonstrate courage, seriousness and commitment to investing in the people. Mr. Kwarteng thinks that doing things the same old ways will not bring change and advises government to start calling a spade to ensure development. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Kwarteng, who is also a member of the Finance Committee of Parliament, said it is time government takes radical steps to raise revenue. Corruption, in his view, must be tackled with all seriousness.
So what the government says, oh, will not go to IMF again, but you keep managing your economy like that, you are bound to go there again. So my simple answer is that we all hope that we won't have to go to the IMF again. But unless we change our attitude, unless government begins to demonstrate more seriousness, unless the corruption goes down so that government expenditure goes down, we are going to run into difficulties. We are always going to have to run to the IMF. So it depends on what we do with ourselves.
In effect, you are saying that if we are able to manage our resources prudently, then we will not go for any external support.
Exactly, because you see, it's not comfortable when you run your country and you go to the IMF. And respectfully, you see, you need to see the IMF guys who come here. Exactly.
MP for Obuasi West and member of the Finance Committee of Parliament, Kwaku Kwarteng.
An expert in international economics, Brian Maweisu, says the focus of discussions on Ghana IMF meetings must shift from the appropriateness or inappropriateness for a bailout to a detailed focus on what the economy stands to benefit from the fund. He pointed out that borrowing a loan cannot solve any economic problem if the money is not used to arrest challenges in the economy. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Weisu urged government to make judicious use of the IMF bailout should Ghana be given the note.
Borrowing itself is not bad, but it depends on where you invest those. And look at the history of Ghana and our dealings with IMF and the kind of borrowing that we've been doing. I don't think where we are now is on the right path. In other words, the kind of borrowing that we're doing, I don't think what we are asking them to do now is going to do anything good for the state. Because there is that we go in for water and come and pour in a basket. And the current situation of pervasive corruption that we go on to serve as a guide. And what are you? So where our best talk have reached, I strongly suspect that we may have to be very careful the way we go in our borrowing.
Well, the IMF report pegs it at a little above 60% our GDP ratio.
You see, this GDP and all those things, yes, it is good, but the reality is that what do we take those loans to do? Where do we invest them? Those who invested earlier, what have been the returns? What we are seeking now? What do we want to do? What are we taking? It's not about GDP. It's about practicality of the loans that we are taking.
Brian Maweisu is an expert in international economics.
The six National Service directors who were arrested in connection with the ongoing investigations into the 7.9 million Ghana Cedi scandal have been granted bail. They are the Greater Accra Regional Director, Seth Isidu, Eastern Region, Nanafusu Amankwa, Alhaji Shaibu Abiru, Northern, George Nawiel Dasa, Upper East, Gabriel Nyoke, Volta, and Michael Totime, Western Region. Their lawyer, Egbert Fable, sued government over their continuous detention, saying it is illegal and unconstitutional for them to be held for more than 48 hours.
They've been granted bail. We actually filed an application for bail, which was going to be heard by the High Court tomorrow. I think that they shook the BNI and they quickly granted them bail.
So when next are they to appear before?
Well, they've been granted bail. The BNI may put them again if we have need for them. But for now, they're on bail.
Lawyer for the six National Service Scheme officials, Egbert Fable.
A soldier has been shot in the Alavanyo Nkunya area. Residents do not immediately know what triggered the shooting. The soldier, whose name is not immediately known, was taken to the Kando Margaret Market Hospital and is responding to treatment. Wisdom Amlado is the former assembly member of Alavanyo Wudidi.
I was in school this afternoon when I heard about three gunshots. So immediately I saw people trooping to my area. They were rushing towards the other direction. So I was trying to find out what was happening because there wasn't any immediate issue between the people of Nkunya Alavanyo that may trigger any incident. So I took my time to find out what was happening. Immediately, I heard that one soldier man, I don't know his name, was shot in between Alavanyo, Pene, and Nkunya Kai. So we quickly rushed to the place. We saw him in a pool of blood. So what we can do was to rush him to the nearest police station. That is Kmando Margaret Marquardt Hospital. But we asked the assemblywoman of the town to take her to the facility. We were told that he's responding to treatment.
Do you know who shot him?
Well, we suspect our people from the other side.
But you didn't see the one who shot him?
There are eyewitnesses to the situation, but securities are taking charge of that.
But has the police been there?
Yes, the security from the headquarters, that's Pando and that of Okoye Division, they are here with their investigation.
Former Assembly Member for Alavanyo Wudidi.
Meanwhile, the Ghana Armed Forces has sent a team to the scene of the incident. The Public Affairs Director, Lieutenant Kano Agbukashi, tells Radio Ghana the team will investigate and issue the issue and report to headquarters.
Yes, we've just also received an information, and so a team has been dispatched from the 66th Artillery Regiment. They have their personnel there, and so the commander is going with the team to ascertain their report, and then maybe when they come back, they will know exactly what has transpired.
So you don't have the details of the incident?
No.
So when do we expect details?
It's when they come back. By this time, they should be getting to the place, and then we'll get details as to exactly what has transpired when they come back. But I'm sure by tomorrow, at least, we should be getting some details of the incident.
Public Affairs Director of the Ghana Armed Forces, Colonel Agrikwashi.
Civil society and other interest groups have expressed the need to abolish and expunge the death penalty from the country's statute books. Former chairman of the Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice, SRAJ, Justice Emil Short, said abolishing the death penalty will demonstrate the country's commitment towards advancing the right to life. He said Ghana is regarded globally as an abolitionist country, yet practically the death penalty is still embedded in the country's constitution. Justice Emil Short made a remark at a roundtable to mark the 12th International Day Against the Death Penalty in Accra.
Hong Kong students' protest leaders have called on supporters to stage a major rally later today following the cancellation of planned talks by government. The two sides are expected to meet today for the first time since pro-democracy protests erupted last month. The government has, however, said it would be impossible to have a constructive dialogue.
The Presidential Commission of Inquiry into Brazil 2014 and other sports-related issues has adjourned its public sitting until a date yet to be announced. Heads of the various sporting disciplines in the country, apart from football, appeared before the commission yesterday. Almost all the associations face the problem of inadequate financing and infrastructure. The former CEO of Kumasi Asante Kotoko, Herbert Mensah, told the commission that it is about time sports was given priority.
We were asked to finance Commonwealth Games endeavor. There were a number of payments that needed to be made before the Commonwealth Games. One was for the preparation of the ship. Another was for the hotel. The athletes are going to stay in for pre-game camping. And then for the feeding of the athletes during the pre-game camping. And clearly those were monies that had to be paid prior to the games themselves. And essentially what happened was, we all know how money gets released at the last minute here. And so we were asked and we were written to try to sort of find The group went out and essentially managed to raise the money, and that money hasn't been paid. And after that, and every month we take interest, every month we take interest. And well, these are the kinds of things that really hamper. When we went and borrowed the money, we gave them an idea of when we thought we would be able to pay, and that's come and gone. That's my lord.
The president of the Ghana Olympic Committee of the Athletics Association and the Athletic Association, Professor Francis Dodu, told the commission that the country should support athletes to ensure the development of sports. The chairman of the commission, Justice Senior Jemefe, announced the adjournment of the commission's public sitting until further notice.
We are breaking off from today. In court, we say we are gentlemen. That doesn't mean we are ending our job today, but we are breaking off because of this schedule. Let you know where we shall reconvene. But we are breaking off public sitting today. We will still work inside, but public sitting will break off today to reconvene later, and we will inform you as to when. But we have to see some of the players, national players, especially the captain and other players, Sule, Etienne, and others. So because of the date schedule, we are breaking off. When we fix those dates, we will reconvene. And then some FA, because of the black cast matches, we don't want to disturb them, we want them to concentrate on those matches. After they finish, then we call them back. So we'll break off today and reconvene later.
You heard Chairman of the Commission of Inquiry into Brazil 2014 and other sports-related issues, Justice Senior Jemefe.
Now, to the main points again. Leaders of Ebola-hit countries have expressed worry about the slow pace of global response to the pandemic. According to the leaders, the situation would likely have dire consequences for the entire African continent, and the National Identification Authority will begin a pilot of the registration for the proposed new national biometric ID card next month. The news was